Hear ye, hear ye. The Supreme Court of the State of Wisconsin is now in session. Your silence is commanded.
Please be seated. Good morning. Delighted to welcome you all for our first case this morning, which is 03-1907, Village of Hobart v. Brown County. This case may very well be done, but it may not be by 11 a.m., and there will be a fire alarm at 11, but it is just a testing of the system. It's the first Wednesday of the month. You need not evacuate the building. Okay. Arguing on behalf of Brown County and the Brown County Solid Waste Management Board, there's Mary C. Turk, and you may proceed.
Good morning. May it please the Court, I represent Brown County and the Brown County Solid Waste Management Board. At council table with me this morning is Christine Cooney Mansour, who is co-author of our briefs. And I'd also like to introduce to the Court John Jakes, who is Corporation Counsel to Brown County, as well as Carol Kelso, who is the County Executive. I will first outline the issues and then briefly discuss the facts. In zoning violation cases, there are two steps to defend against an alleged zoning violation. The first step is to prove that there is no zoning violation. Now, assuming a zoning violation is found, the second step is to show that equity nonetheless prevents the zoning ordinance from being enforced. In Town of Delafield versus Winkleman, this court gave the name to these two steps as the two kicks at the cat. In this case, the county raised an estoppel defense to the village's allegation that the waste transfer station violated village zoning. The circuit court agreed with the county that indeed the village was estopped from asserting a zoning violation. The Court of Appeals, however, reversed and said a municipality cannot be estopped from asserting a zoning violation. The first issue in this appeal, therefore, is whether equitable estoppel can prevent the village from even finding a zoning violation. That is the first kick of the cat. The second issue is, assuming that the transfer station violates zoning, is whether the county proved reasonable reliance and the village is therefore equitably estopped from enforcing its zoning violation. That is the second kick of the cat. Now, the circuit court did not reach this second kick of the cat issue because it found the village was equitably estopped in the first stage in finding a zoning violation. The Court of Appeals then correctly recognized that a municipality can be equitably estopped in the enforcement stage. However, the Court of Appeals erroneously found that in this case and under these facts that I will briefly discuss, the county had not proven reasonable reliance, which is an element of equitable estoppel. Now, the facts are important in this case because they underlie the county's equitable estoppel defense, which are central to both the first and second issues on appeal. The undisputed facts here establish that the village invited the county to site a waste transfer station within the village, representing all the time that zoning was proper. The county relied on those representations, but the village later reversed itself, but gave no reason for the reversal that had anything to do with zoning.
Council, did they make an affirmative statement that the zoning permitted the waste station, or did they just not say there was a zoning problem?
No, absolutely here there were affirmative representations, and I will go through those for you. In February of 2002, when the village board invited the county to site the transfer station, they told the county that the siting would be appropriate and it would comply with the village zoning ordinance. At a public meeting in March 2002, the entire village board unanimously accepted the county siting proposal.
But that's different than saying the zoning is okay. I mean, to accept a proposal may or may not include an affirmative representation that the zoning is okay. And your first statement was an answer to my question. In the second statement, was there also an affirmative representation that at that time the zoning was okay, or did they just accept a proposal?
They accepted the proposal, but there are further facts that I will discuss now.
Thank you.
Sure. In August 2002, in a letter to village residents, the letter said the county did not need village approval for the transfer station because it would be a permitted use. Also in August 2002, a very important thing happened. The village site review committee reviewed the site plan that the county had submitted and approved it unanimously. Now, the zoning ordinance of the village makes clear that the zoning administrator must sign off on site plans and must make a zoning determination. So in this case, we have the person charged with zoning within the village making a determination that zoning was appropriate.
Ms. Clark, if I can interrupt for a minute, would you explain to me what the argument is in regard to the map as against the classifications in the ordinance? My understanding, at least to this point, is that there's a map that shows public use for the area that we're talking about, but that there's no such classification in the village ordinance. Is that indeed correct?
That is correct. The ordinance itself, section 6.005 A and B, however, expressly incorporates by reference the zoning map. The zoning map that's attached in our materials, I believe is at the appendix 65, was a map that was produced to us by the village in response to our request for a zoning map. It has a zoning legend that says a public property district, and the transfer station site is shown in that public property district.
Well, the fact that there's no such classification in the ordinance, couldn't that be used as an argument that that should have been a warning to the county in this situation? You've got a map, but you don't have a classification that matches with what's shown on the map.
Well, that could be a warning, but in this case, we have the testimony of Chuck Larscheid, who is with the Solid Waste Management Board, who has experience dealing with zoning ordinance and citing various proposals. And his testimony was that he has seen in other cases where a zoning map is incorporated into a zoning ordinance, and the zoning ordinance does not necessarily reference expressly all of the districts that are in the map. So what he did is they relied then on the village's interpretation. The village said it's a permitted use, and therefore the county relied and proceeded.
Well, this map was incorporated into this zoning ordinance. I mean, this map was.
Absolutely. It was incorporated.
I mean, that's what Larsha, I mean, I gathered that this map was part of the zoning ordinance.
Correct. The ordinance expressly incorporates the map in by reference. So we have the incorporation, and then we have the village's representation that this was a permitted use. So
I just want to follow up on Justice Crooks's question, because in that area, the village itself, and I didn't quite understand this, they moved and they said this was, first they said this was a non-permitted use because it was Ag 1 or Ag 2. They themselves changed what they thought it was.
Absolutely. The first notice that the county had that there was a zoning violation was not when they told us they opposed it. It was when they filed the lawsuit. They first alleged in the complaint that the transfer station was cited A1, I believe, and then later on summary judgment, they said it was A2 exclusive agriculture. So you're absolutely right. They changed their mind again.
What I wanted to know, and I'm looking at the map now on 65, and unless, if this is incorporated into, so the average, or not average, a person coming in and looking at this map to see where his or her property would be or where it would be located, there's a legend. This map would not, you could not totally rely on this map. I think that's what Justice Crooks is indicating, that if there is public property, you would have to then go into the ordinance itself, right?
If you were wanting to determine whether a use fit within the public property district, yes, then one would presumably go to look in the ordinance.
But your argument is that the village made representations saying that it fit within this, within their ordinance, and therefore that's where the reliance comes.
That is correct.
Counselor, but when you look at the map, it's not the usual zoning thing. Like you have a C1 and a C2 for commercial. You've got other names and labels. And so it's kind of confusing to me, though it says a zoning legend, the classifications that are listed there are too, is certainly something you'd expect to see on a zoning classification, but industrial park and limited industrial is not, nor is public property without some designation of what kind of a zoning classification. Was this a cause for any concern for the county?
Again, the county had raised the issue, asked for a map, they wanted to check, and then they asked the village, is this, what, are we properly zoned? And the village's representation consistently was, you are properly zoned. And the confusion that the court is seeing in the map is I think, common to everybody who would look at this map. Again, who is in charge of interpreting their own ordinance? It's the village and the village zoning administrator. And we have a determination from the zoning administrator that the transfer station was properly zoned.
Does public property mean it's owned by a public entity?
Well, from the county's
view, that property owned by the county or the village?
It is owned by the county. And the site...
That's the landfill.
Correct. It's okay. The former West Landfill site. And from the county's point of view, a transfer station is similar to a landfill in that it's used for the public good.
No, but that's probably what they meant. Now that we look at this and see this lawsuit... it means ownership, which is, and what does trust property mean, do you know?
That I don't know either, Your Honor.
So, all right. Let me just, before we get on to more facts, this is a summary judgment case.
That's right.
Historically, there's agreement between the parties. That is, parties agree as to the historical facts, what happened on August 2, who did what to whom, who said what to whom. But they draw totally different inferences from these sets of historical facts. Do you agree with that?
I would agree with you.
Then why are we here on summary judgment?
Well, I think the law is clear that estoppel is a question of law where the facts are undisputed. And in this case, they are so clear, I think, that only one inference is reasonable to be drawn.
Well, that's at the reliance end. But the issue of whether what the ordinance is, what the ordinance means, that may be legal. But the issue of what representations were made, that is, what inferences can be drawn from what was said or not, that sounds factual to me.
But I think those facts are undisputed.
Okay. But you say the board made a representation that this was, the zoning was okay on this. The other side says no such thing. The board never made the representation. The village president said it was okay. And part of your legal argument says it's different if the president says it versus whether the board says it. So there's a fight on the fact of, did the board ever say it?
Well, I think even if the county were to concede that the village president said what it said, I think that the village cannot deny the fact that its site review committee reviewed and approved the zoning. With the zoning administrator sitting on the site review committee, that fact is undisputed, and I don't think there's any dispute as to the inference that can be drawn from that fact.
All right.
Could I ask, is there some document that says that the West landfill site is A2?
Is there any document? The only document that I'm aware of that is the zoning ordinance itself that lists the A2 classification, I have never seen anything in the record that would indicate otherwise that specifically makes this site A2, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah.
Not to my knowledge.
So we have to take the village's word for the fact that it's A2?
Apparently.
Well, in your appendix, right at the end of the big fat one.
Yes.
there is the zoning ordinance, and then there's a reference in the middle. This is on A-132. There's a reference to the zoning map in the middle of the page. It talks about zoning district map for the town of Hobart, Brown County, Wisconsin, dated October 6, 1986. By October 6, 1986, that landfill had been operating for close to 10 years.
Correct.
Do we know what the map looks like in 1986?
There's nothing in the record that shows a map that is dated October 6, 1986. I know that in discovery, a map was produced to the county. Now, the village has never made that part of the record. That map is illegible, is not dated, and as I said, is not in the record. So I believe the only reference or inference that can be drawn from that is that that map does not show the property we're talking about as an A2 classification. But I have no independent knowledge otherwise.
Isn't it a fact that this was a landfill? That wasn't gasket being taken out of the landfill or something?
It was monitored for the appropriate number of years after it was closed.
How is that consistent with A2?
Precisely. We agree that that makes it an unreasonable use as for farmland. I mean, what else could be used at this property other than something like a transfer station, something for the public good that wouldn't include raising crops or grazing animals?
Well, all I'm trying to suggest is that A2, as I read it, doesn't seem to say landfill as one of the permitted uses. And yet the West landfill site has been a landfill since 1976.
Correct.
So unless there is a zoning change somewhere along the line, it seems to me that's either been accepted or it's been in violation for, what, 30 years almost?
Well, the DeCastro decision in 1976 was a decision by the Brown County Circuit Court, which involved the same parties on the same parcel of land when the West landfill was going to be sited there. And the court at that time found that the Brown County could put the landfill there despite the village's zoning ordinance. So in our view,
that decision is somewhere in one of these appendices.
It is.
Just so we alert the court to that.
I think it's in our supplemental appendix,
yeah.
9.
Okay. Go ahead. Yeah, it is 9.
So on a summary judgment decision there, the Circuit Court of Brown County found that the county could site this landfill at this very same site despite the village's ordinance. Now, we know that the village's zoning ordinance was enacted in 1991. This decision, again, was 1976, and as you pointed out, the landfill had been operating for many years. So it only makes sense that the village's zoning ordinance in 1991 would reference a map that shows this site being public property, because that's what it was.
They had condemned it for this purpose.
It was that? Correct.
Okay.
And we know the law is clear that a municipality's historical construction of its zoning ordinance should be given weight. So here we have public property. It was being used that way for many, many years. When the zoning ordinance is enacted, it incorporates by reference the map, which we have in the record showing public property district. By the way, this map is shown in the office of the villages in a large scale for all the public to see. And it says zoning legend, and it has a public property district.
This map plotted 5-17-02, is that the official map, or is this a specially created map, or what?
This is a map that was created, I think, based on the map that we it's the same map that's on the village wall. I'm not sure who plotted, if it was the village or the county, but we know in discovery that the village confirmed that was the map they provided to us when we asked for a zoning map. Now,
let me ask you some further questions, if I might. My understanding is what you're asking us to do is reverse the Court of Appeals and to have the decision of the circuit court stand. Is that correct?
That's correct.
The circuit court did not get into the two kicks at the cat analysis, as I understand it.
That's correct.
Do you think that that's important, that that's something the circuit court should have done?
Well, I believe the issue before the circuit court goes to the first kick of the cat. Now, the circuit court did not label it the first kick of the cat.
I know that.
And because the circuit court disposed of the case on the first kick, we don't even get to the second kick. So I think it was appropriate that the circuit court didn't do a two-step analysis because we didn't get off of the first step. The court found that the county had shown equitable estoppel and that the village was estopped from even asserting a zoning violation.
But now the Court of Appeals said the record is not sufficient, as I understand it, to establish reliance by the county. Isn't that correct?
That's correct. And our view is that the Court of Appeals erred in finding the facts that it did based on the record. It misread the record, frankly. The record shows, to back up, the Court of Appeals said that at some point, close to the time that the construction began, the county approached its corporation council and said, we can't get a permit from the county, from the village, excuse me, should we proceed with construction of the transfer station? Now, the Court of Appeals misread the record by saying that we asked our corporation council for advice on zoning. We did not. We asked for advice on whether we needed a building permit. In light of Chapter 1348, Sub 13, which is a statute that allows an arm of the state to construct a public use building and not get local permits except for zoning. So we had this question to our corporation council that asked about building permits. But all along, we were relying on the zoning representation. And as I said earlier, we did not know there was a zoning problem until this lawsuit was filed.
But isn't there a reasonable inference that if the Corp Council is being asked for an opinion as to whether or not you need or don't need a building permit, in other words, whether or not we should proceed with construction, isn't there a reasonable inference that in asking that question, the Corp Council is going to look at the whole situation? Is the zoning correct? Is anything needed further from Hobart? Isn't that a reasonable inference for the Court of Appeals to have drawn here?
Well, I don't think so. I don't think it's reasonable to put the burden on the permit applicant to find out, to dig further, when the village had repeatedly said that zoning was proper. And that is the Vorpal case that says...
But isn't this at a point where the village is no longer saying it's proper?
The village is only saying that they don't want the transfer station. They are not saying, they did not say that zoning was improper. When they decided and reversed themselves, they never raised zoning. They said people complain, they said this should be used as a public park, but they never said zoning. And that was the error the Court of Appeals made when it reviewed this case. It believed that the zoning issue came up prior to construction, prior to the lawsuit being filed, and therefore we lost our reasonable reliance. But that was not the case. We relied on zoning.
So that was one question I was going to ask you. Is the reliance consistent? Because from what I read in the Court of Appeals opinion, it appeared that while you may have reasonably relied until you spend $130,000, once they withdrew their permission, then how can you reasonably rely and spend $1.3 million? But you're saying they didn't withdraw it based on zoning, so thought it was just neighbors complaining.
We thought it was a political problem they had, that they hadn't maybe informed their residents, and then a couple neighbors complained, and then the letter we got, and I think you'll see that in the record, does not mention zoning. The minutes of their board meeting when they rescinded their memorandum of understanding does not mention zoning.
But you built after the complaint was filed.
We started building before the complaint was filed.
I know, but the complaint was filed October 24. You may have started building October 14th or 15th,
correct,
whatever it was, but then continued on.
We continued on, and I'll tell you why we did. Because the county was in a difficult situation. The county had to find a place to put their garbage. The West landfill, or the East landfill, I guess, was at that time, was going to be full in May 2003. And the county had to do something with their garbage. And they had entered into talks, 6 months of discussions with the village. They were all set to go. Everything was in place. Then we get the reversal from the village. What are we to do? We got advice from our council that we could proceed without building permits, and so we started. It was the public good, the county, I think if you balance the equities here, the county was looking out for its citizens, including the village. Ironically, we take care of the village's garbage. And so we had to find a place to put it, and we continued building the transfer station.
You want from this court a decision that says, on the basis of these undisputed facts, your reliance was reasonable. Therefore, the village cannot enforce its ordinance, assuming, which you don't necessarily agree, assuming that the construction violated the zoning.
Yes.
Your argument is it doesn't violate the zoning, but...
Correct.
Aside from that, if you win on reliance, you don't care about the underlying.
Correct. We have two bases for relief. One, it would be on the second kit, which you just described, would be in the enforcement context. Assuming zoning... We reasonably relied as a matter of law, and therefore we're entitled to reversal of the Court of Appeals decision.
No more going back to the trial court for equities.
We don't think that it's necessary.
And if that doesn't work, your other argument is, as a matter of law, you fit the zoning. And because you've got board approval rather than just individual officers, the village can be stopped. Is that right?
Correct. We fit the Russell Dairy case where we've got an entire municipality acting, not just one municipal officer like in the Leavitt case. The Court of Appeals relied on Leavitt. We think that was an erroneous decision because the facts are distinguishable.
And the facts are distinguishable from Willow Creek also. Willow Creek in the sense that there it was, I think, a town official that assured someone they're going to build a pheasant farm here. Well, but this is still debated. I mean, the village says you just have the one, the village president. You don't have the rest of us. And they characterize this letter, for example, that went around not as a letter from the village board, but from, quote, public officials. I'm talking about the letter that went to the village residents themselves. So there are some factual disputes that just caused me to wonder whether or not this isn't something that summary judgment might have been inappropriate, at least in that area.
I think that before the circuit court, I don't think there was a challenge at that point as to who wrote the letter. I think that was raised before the Court of Appeals, and that may give some understanding to why there was a summary judgment decision on this. There wasn't a big factual dispute. I think that's been raised subsequently. But even if we assume that the letter was written by one village person, the president, for example, I don't think that the village can deny that the site review committee, which their own ordinance charges with zoning approval, gave its approval. And so I don't think there's disputed material facts here. I think that this is appropriate for summary judgment.
Thank you, counsel. You'll have 5 minutes in rebuttal.
Thank you.
Counsel for the village of Hobart.
May it please the Court, I'm Richard Eady of the Stafford Rosenbaum Law Firm in Madison. I represent the Village of Hobart. Also here are Rich Heidel, the Village President, and Dave Dillenberg, a Village Trustee, to my left. The county has asked the Court to answer the following question. Can a municipality be stopped from asserting a zoning violation if its governing body has represented that the use is permitted? The answer to that question must be no, because otherwise there is no end to the arbitrary, inadvertent, and ad hoc zoning decisions that the governing body can make without reference to the rights of property owners and the protections and procedures the legislature has established for the benefit of the public. The county argues that the village is stopped from enforcing its zoning ordinance because the county reasonably relied on representations of the village board about the zoning. The county's argument must fail for a number of reasons. The two most important are that there was no reasonable reliance, and even if the county had relied on the representations by the village board, the court should still reject the argument because to do otherwise would be contrary to a long-established precedent, would be inconsistent with procedures established by the legislature, and would deny citizens due process rights granted by the legislature. Wisconsin statute sections 61.35 and 62.23 permit cities and villages to adopt zoning ordinances. Those ordinances establish zones and restrict uses of property within each zones. They establish permitted uses within those zones.
Council, has the village of Hobart made any effort to enforce its ordinance directly? I know they brought the action before the circuit court, but wasn't that more in the nature of declaratory judgment action?
We asked the court for an injunction to halt the construction of this transfer station.
That was a permanent injunction. Did you ask for a temporary injunction?
I don't recall.
Okay.
I guess the reason, if I can just follow through for a minute, I guess the reason I'm asking is because does Forest County versus Good get into the picture? We've heard about the two kicks at the cat. Are we talking about the second kick as well here?
It's my understanding we're talking about the first kick because the circuit court decision said that the village was stopped from even attempting to enforce its zoning ordinance. So we never got to the second kick at the cat. We're dealing only with the first kick at the cat here.
Well, but the Court of Appeals got to the second kick. I mean, this poor cat.
I'm going to withdraw language from that opinion.
The Court of Appeals reached it on the second issue, assuming there was a violation of the ordinance. Isn't that right?
The Court of Appeals remanded to the circuit court for determination on the second kick.
But said, on the basis of the facts, it then knew they were not good enough for reliance.
That's correct.
Okay. Counselor, where in the record does it show that this property is A2?
That would be in the affidavit of Joe Helfenberger, which is attached, which is in the
one of the briefs.
The supplemental appendix. That's the only fact, that's the only place in the record that fact is addressed with an affidavit.
Does it say in that affidavit when it was zoned A2?
Pardon?
Does it say in the affidavit when it was zoned A2?
No, it does not.
So at some particular point in time prior to when he made his affidavit, it was zoned A2, but we don't know when.
That affidavit is in the blue brief at SA-101. I'm showing that.
No, wasn't it originally zoned A1, or didn't...
No, I believe that there may have been I believe there was an allegation in the complaint that it was zoned A1, but... The fact on summary judgment is that it's zoned A2 because that's the only affidavit we have.
And that's not disputed.
That is undisputed.
And it says at all times material here too.
That's correct.
When you say it's undisputed, do you mean that it was undisputed in the trial court?
Yes.
That the correct zoning is A2?
That's correct. There was no affidavit submitted in the trial court disputing that. There was no, and the issue itself was not disputed in either the trial court or the Court of Appeals.
It seems to me that some of the issues have become, or some of the facts have become more important, and the inferences drawn from those facts more important as it weaves its way up the appellate process. And perhaps some things were not asserted at the trial court. One of the things that bothers me in this case is looking at the zoning ordinance that's set forth in the white appendix on page 132 that has been previously been referred to by the justices in their questioning. And what is of concern to me is not that when it refers to zoning map, it isn't some benign statement that the zoning map is incorporated herein, you know, but rather it is specific. And it says, the location and boundaries of the districts established by this ordinance are set forth on the zoning map. And then it goes on, which is incorporated herein, and hereby made a part of this ordinance. So now that's part of the ordinance. And it goes on to state, the said map, together with everything shown thereon and all amendments thereto, shall be as much a part of this ordinance as fully set forth and described herein. So I think from a reading of that, I have that this zoning map, which says there's a public use, and it is much set forth herein as any other district. And it's it isn't just, as I said, benignly incorporated, but it's very specifically incorporated and made a part of the ordinance, including the boundaries and districts established in that map.
No.
So I'm wondering, what is it zoned?
Well, it's zoned A2. I have two responses to your comments. The first is that the section B or subsection B there says that the location and boundaries of the districts established by this ordinance are set forth on the zoning map. The districts established by the ordinance are set forth above in section or subsection A. There is no public property district there. There's no trust territory district there. Trust territory, by the way, refers to areas under the jurisdiction of the Oneida Tribe.
But don't you fail to read the last sentence of that section? Then if you didn't have the last sentence, you're home free. The said map, together with everything shown thereon, shall be as much a part of this ordinance as those set fully forth and described herein?
I disagree with that because it's clear to me that the map that's in the record is not the zoning map. It refers to districts that are not in, or it refers to titles that are not in the zoning ordinance. It has a date that's inconsistent with what's in the ordinance. It has a title that's other than what's in the ordinance. It is clearly not the zoning map. The village has to acknowledge here that there were two errors made right up front. One is village president telling the county that this was okay under the zoning. The second is that the village clerk gave the county the wrong map. I don't think there can be any dispute about that. The county, upon learning...
Counsel, I just want to and I apologize for interrupting, but this map that we have here, you're saying is not representative of the true map? What are you saying exactly? Because other questions from, say, for example, Justice Prosser said, well, now, and he asked other counsel, this property we're talking about, which had been a landfill and had been used for public use, so if you combine that with this map, we're talking about what you would rely on, and you said that the county should have known themselves. Well, I'm just looking at it from afar, but what I know is that, well, we have this map, and now I know that there was a landfill there. What would expectation be? Well, that would be, had been used for public use or a public landfill.
There's no question that it's owned by the public, that it's used for a public use.
In a landfill?
That does not establish a zoning district, however.
Okay, I understand, but that's right. But then you take the map, and then the language that Justice Bradley read, that's
that I'm referring to.
If I understand your argument, you are saying that the map that is in the appendix in the man the county got is not the October 6, 1986 map referred to in 6.005.
That's
is that correct?
Correct?
And that what this map is it's something else. It's a map that the village made up that mixes apples and oranges. It mixes ownership of land, which is the trust property and the public property, with the zoning legend. And the zoning legend is not totally correct either, because it just has agriculture and it should have agriculture A1 and A2. So this is a kind of layman's view of the village that is not necessarily related to the ordinance.
That, well, it's related to the ordinance.
Not necessarily fully related to the ordinance. It is not to be used, this is your position, if I understand, not to be used as a legal statement by the village that supersedes all the ordinances.
That's correct.
That's your position.
That's correct.
Okay.
Is it also your position that the public use that is set forth on this map that we have before us in the appendix on A65, that the public use for which it has been used is not a permitted use?
Well, the yes and no. The landfill for which it is no longer being actively used was a pre-existing legal nonconforming use. The park for which that land was used is a legal conforming use under the A2 zoning district. And so that zoning district A2 was appropriate for the use to which that property was being made. And it was not in any way inconsistent with that zoning district. I would also point out to the court, as noted in the brief, that at pages A126 and 27 of the county's appendix, Mr. Larscheid, on behalf of the county, acknowledged knowing that there was no public property or public use zoning district in under the village zoning. And thereafter, contrary to county's assertions, there was no inquiry by the county about that or about zoning at all. And in fact, the county did not apply for a building permit to go ahead with the project after being told that they could not proceed.
I'd like to stop you right there and ask you some questions about that. The Court of Appeals, as I understand their decision, said reasonable reliance really has not been satisfied here. So it's got to go back to the trial court. But the Court of Appeals based its decision, as I understand it, to a large extent on a misconception concerning the Corporation Counsel's opinion. Do you concede that that's correct?
No. As I read the Court of Appeals' opinion, the Court of Appeals said at the time that the county decided to proceed, they were no longer relying on what the village had told them because the village had told them to stop. So at that point, they were no longer relying on the village. What I see the Court of Appeals saying about the county losing its reliance is it's a temporal statement rather than a causative statement.
But don't they directly tie that into the opinion by the Corp Counsel?
They do say that at the time, they say I don't remember the exact words, but when the county asked Corp Counsel for his opinion, they were no longer relying on any representations by the village.
But that talks about finishing the project.
you have reliance prior to that, don't you?
Well, I don't agree that there was reliance prior to that, but even if there was reliance prior to the village telling the county to stop, the village said stop before the county had awarded the contract or started construction.
But they had spent about $130,000, according to what's in the briefs, at the time the village told them to stop. So what are you asking us to do here? I mean, just say we agreed with your position partway and said after they told them to stop, they should have stopped. So they weren't reasonably relying on the village's representations after that point. Then where do we go from here?
Then it has to go back, at least according to the Court of Appeals, it has to go back to the trial court for determination as to whether the village can be denied an injunction related to the use of that property.
Well, now, that's my question. I looked at your conclusion in your brief, and my question to you is, are you here agreeing totally with the Court of Appeals? Or do you think this court should just say, as a matter of law, there is no reasonable reliance, beginning, middle, and end, and therefore you're entitled to a relief? Did you file a cross appeal?
We did not file a cross appeal.
So you are here supporting the Court of Appeals' decision that it should be remanded?
We are, so, well, the...
Reluctantly supporting the
Court of Appeals. The village did not file a cross-appeal asking for review of that issue, although we do not believe that there are facts that would support denying the injunction under any case.
Okay. So at the moment, you're not really debating that, but as if you had your druthers, you'd say, you don't send this back. You should reverse that part of it. Don't send it back. Hold as a matter of law. No reliance.
Yes.
That's your position. Okay. Let's just even assume that you can take that position. This station is now up and running, right?
Yes.
What do you expect that the mandate of this court should be? We have mandated tear it down. We did that in a Door County case where there was a violation and the buildings were up and running and we said, tough luck. Now, is that what you want the court to do here?
Well, what we would ask the court to do, assuming the court would consider it, is that in order that that building could not be used for a purpose that is not permitted in the A2 zoning district. That does not necessarily require tearing the building down because the building, at least theoretically, could be used for a purpose that's permitted under the A2 zoning
district. Like an indoor playground.
Pardon?
Like an indoor playground.
Or a shelter.
Something related to parks. And
or other uses that are permitted in the A2 district, yes.
Would the village be liable for the $130,000?
Well, that's an issue that's not before us right now. I don't know what the answer to that question is.
The issue now before us is just the use of that facility that was built.
That's correct.
And if the county wants to sue you for $130,000 or $1 million, they can do that later, maybe.
Maybe. As I said, that's not an issue I've concerned myself with up to this point.
Is there any legal reason why the county could not seek at least $130,000 from the village?
Well, there's no reason they couldn't seek it. The village would certainly argue that they're not entitled to it because they weren't reasonable in the actions they took in the first place.
That's what I really wanted to get at. What should the county have done all the way along here? Where did the county start to go wrong, in your view?
In my view, the county went wrong when Mr. Larscheid requested a copy of the zoning ordinance and map, saw that they were inconsistent, and instead of asking somebody, wait a second, there's an inconsistency here, kept his mouth shut and decided, well, as long as we keep quiet, we're going to get away with this and keep going forward here. Because the county, at least based on their own statement of facts, was going to run out of landfill space in May of 2003, and as of February 2003, they had not done anything to find a place for this transfer station, according to their statement of facts. They were approached by the village to locate this thing in the village.
Mr. Eady, the map that the village asserts is the correct zoning map that relates to Appendix 132. Is that a part of this record?
It is not.
Thank you. Have you ever seen that map?
No. I was not involved in this case at the trial court, and I've been dealing with the record as it came to the Court of Appeals and now to you. And I have not worried myself beyond that because I, as you, have to deal with the record that's before us.
I'm assuming also that you think that the county went wrong in relying on the memorandum of understanding and not getting a final negotiated contract before they went out and hired a construction firm and got an engineering firm and got all the permits. Or maybe you don't think that.
I do think that.
That's what I got from your brief.
The memorandum of understanding required that the parties negotiate an agreement for this transfer station before it went up. The parties never did that. The county went ahead with the construction without negotiating the agreement in violation of the A2 zoning requirements and without getting a permit. The building permit is required by the zoning ordinance. And so the permit, not getting the permit, creates three issues, three problems. First is that that is itself a violation of the zoning ordinance. The second is...
Is that inconsistent with the statute, Counselor?
That's under the statute and the zoning ordinance.
Well, I understand that, but the statute requires that you comply with the zoning ordinance, but it could be read not to require that you get a building permit. And if, in fact, that is the way we would interpret the statute, then it doesn't matter what it says in the zoning ordinance, correct? Because it couldn't be contrary to the statute.
The reference is to 13.48.
Right.
Yes.
Right. There are two statutes concerned here. 6223 sub 9 says that the village can require building permits.
I was looking at the 13.48.
13.8. Right. Which says that the state can construct buildings without local permits except zoning. The 1348-13A accepts zoning from the permit requirements from which the state is exempted. So, first of all, that statute we submit does not apply to the county in the first place, but even if it does, it doesn't excuse the county from getting zoning permits.
So you don't think it can be read in a way that would excuse the county from getting a zoning permit, a building permit. See, you're reading a building permit to be part of zoning, right? Which I understand why. Okay. All right. And you don't think the statute can be read any other way?
I don't.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
The village zoning ordinance requires that the zoning administrator issue a zoning permit or a building permit for any proposed structure. And the reason for that is that, as I started to say, that um, First, that the failure to get the permit is itself a violation of the ordinance. And the county cannot claim to be acting in reliance on the zoning when it refuses to comply with the zoning ordinance by getting a permit. Second, as noted in Lake Bluff Housing, the Lake Bluff Housing Partners case, the county could have no right to proceed without the permit, or at least having submitted a permit application, complying in all respects with the zoning ordinance. And third, the building permit is the method by which the village assures that structures and uses will be consistent with the zoning ordinance. By submitting a building permit, the zoning administrator, who is the person who is charged with enforcement of the village zoning ordinance, gets a chance to look at this proposal and make a determination as to the proper zoning.
Council, let me, if I might interrupt at this point, I'll tell you what's troubling me. What's troubling me is I listened to the discussion about, well, you know, one remedy here might be requiring the county to tear down the building. Another might be a remedy having to do with saying you can't use this as a transfer station. And I'm wondering, where does Forest County versus Good get into the act here? That second kick at the cat, if you will. Doesn't a court have to look at Forest County versus Good?
Yes.
All right. What court should be doing that, this court or the circuit court?
Well, as I said previously, we did not cross-appeal the Court of Appeals remand to the circuit court, so I can't demand that this court look at that, but the village certainly would think it appropriate if this court determined that, based on the facts, there is no reasonable reliance or other equitable factor that would permit the county to maintain that illegal use.
Do you think the record here is good enough at this point for this court to exercise discretion under Forest County versus Good, if that's even appropriate for this court to do?
I think that the record, the county had the opportunity to make a record in the trial court that would justify denying the injunction and failed to do so. As I started to say early on in this argument, the statutes require certain procedures to amend a zoning ordinance, and those include notice, hearing, recommendation by the plan commission, if there's a protest petition, an extraordinary majority to adopt an amendment to the zoning ordinance. The county's argument that a use can be permitted simply because the village president said something and or because of anything that the village board did without going through those procedures amounts to permitting an amendment to the zoning ordinance contrary to the due process rights of the citizens in the area that are established by those statutes. As noted in Snyder against Waukesha County, 74 Wisconsin 2nd at 476-77, those statutes create due process rights on the for citizens that the village will not amend the zoning ordinance, will not permit uses contrary to the zoning ordinance without going through that process. And the village board has no more authority to permit a violation of the zoning ordinance, to permit a violation of law, than does an individual official of the village.
You're familiar with the amicus brief filed by the League of Wisconsin Municipalities?
Yes.
Their position is, if I understand it, that as to the first kick, whether it's the board, whether it's individual officers, the municipality is not stopped from asserting a violation.
That's correct.
And that's your position, too?
Yes.
Their position then is that the court should apply equities to decide what to do about the violation. And that's Forest County versus Good and Town of Delafield versus Winkleman. And they say that this equitable decision, or this decision on equitable grounds in the second kick, is not quite like reasonable reliance, that it's something different.
Yes.
Do you agree with that?
Yes. That there's a higher standard because this court has said repeatedly that it's only in rare circumstances that the court should ever allow a violation of the zoning ordinance.
So under your interpretation, reasonable reliance really never comes in.
Right.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Heidi.
Thank you.
Ms. Turk, you have 5 minutes in rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. I just want to address a couple questions that the court had. First of all, it's to Justice Crook's question about Forest County versus Good. It's the county's position that in this case, the most that the village can get out of this is a remand, an affirmance of the circuit court remanding with, affirmance of the Court of Appeals with a remand to the circuit court with this reasonable reliance instruction. But we believe this court could reverse the Court of Appeals and find that there was a reasonable reliance on the second kick of the cat. And so as a matter of law, find that estoppel does lie. But at the very least, what we're asking is a reversal of the reasonable reliance instruction with a remand to the circuit court for further fact-finding, because there's more at stake here than just estoppel. Estoppel is one of the things that can be proven. But at the circuit court level, we could also show other things, factors like considerations from the citizens, the public good, lots of other factors that, with all due respect, there was no reason to make that record before the trial court. That wasn't before the trial court. Again, the only thing before the trial court was the first kick of the cat.
Ms. Turk, if I could, with respect to the argument that I'm inferring, perhaps, from the village, assuming for sake of argument that we agree with the county that there has been detrimental reliance here, I think the thrust, even though he's not really argued it, I think he backed off in response to the chief's question. The real issue is whether or not the county's reliance was reasonable in view of the village's change in position. How do you respond to that?
I think our position of reliance was reasonable. As I discussed earlier, zoning was never an issue. We relied on zoning. Now, the statute 1348 told us we did not need building permits, and I'll say as an aside, that issue is not before the court. The circuit court found clearly 1348 allowed the county to proceed without a building permit. Okay.
And I guess maybe I want to focus the question. I think what I heard through the village's argument was that assuming there's reliance up until the point when the village says no, you really hadn't started the construction yet. Was it reasonable to continue?
And your question, is that the issue? Your question to me is that the issue?
I'm asking you to respond to that particular aspect of the issue.
It was reasonable to proceed with construction because we had no notice that there was a zoning problem. We knew we didn't have to get building permits. Their arbitrary change of mind based on we don't really know what was not compelling enough for the county to stop doing something they needed to do, which was find a new place to put their garbage for all these municipalities. So I think it was reasonable.
Would you take a minute and address the due process argument that was raised by opposing counsel, that if we go along with your position, what we're really doing is allowing kind of an ad hoc amendment of a zoning ordinance, and that's in violation of other folks' due process rights?
Well, I think that it's a balancing question here. I think that the county had a good reason to proceed, and I think that reliance should be found to be reasonable, because this isn't a case where, you know, it's just a developer who's putting money and they want to get money at the end of the day. This is the county is looking out for its citizens, and its citizens have an interest in the county proceeding on their benefit. And I think while the cases talk about this policy reason, I think that it's not as compelling in this case. It really isn't. I think that the county had good reasons to proceed. And we even know from some of the case law that Russell Dairy, Leave It, Willow Creek, there are circumstances in which reliance will trump those interests.
In other words, due process argument fails if the court finds the equities for Brown County, if you get to that stage.
I think so. And I think if you look at Russell
Dairy, County and Winkleman infer or imply. Mm-hmm.
Correct. But I think even at the first stage, if you look at Russell Dairy, Leave It, and Willow Creek, if there were a clear rule that you could never overcome those policy considerations, you wouldn't have Russell Dairy.
So generally, you'd have to concede that the village is right. You got to amend any ordinance properly, notice, hearing, etc. And that if Brown County is wrong and this is a violation of the ordinance, then the village board or the village president or anyone or the site review committee has no authority to violate the ordinance. You have to concede that.
There's no statutory authority for them to do an ad hoc amendment.
Right. So you've got them, but if they proceeded on that basis, you've got them violating the zoning ordinance on those assumptions. But you're saying that equitable estoppel or equities can trump that.
Absolutely. And I think this court has said that.
Okay. Thank you, counsel. Your 5 minutes are up.
Thank you.
You have managed to avoid the awful siren. That concludes the hearing in this very interesting case about the powers of the village and the county. And 03-1907, Village of Hobart versus Brown County, is concluded. The court will take a recess. We have students coming in, and we will come back at... Maybe we've got students coming in. I will come back after the siren. Thank you.